Gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Joel Dommett!
It's my dream to play Leicester. It's my absolute dream to be here. And no need to laugh at that. What's your name, sir? Brian? Ryan. I'm sorry. Fucking hell. Ryan. Brian! Fucking Brian! Brian! God, thank. It's a pleasure to have you in, Brian. Thank you very much for... It was Brian or was it Ryan? I can't remember. Now I've talked about Brian and Ryan. I can't remember which one it is. I'll call you John. What's up, John? What size feet you got? What are you banging? What are you packing? 9. Fucking classic. Great size. Classic man size. 9. Smashing it out of the park. 6.5. Pow. How'd you like those bad boys? Drink it in, Brian, Ryan, or John, whatever your name is. 6.5. 6. Anyone else a size 6 feet? Give me a cheer. Just the women, mate. Just the women. Just me and... Me and the lady smashing it out of the park.
People must see you in a nightclub and just think you've got a small penis. I don't care. I don't care, Leicester, okay? I can fit into Heelys. You know how exciting that is for me? Oh, I can fit into the Heelys. I don't care. I can round up women in a nightclub like a sheepdog.
So great, honestly. You seem like a good man, John. I'm going to give you a sweet job, mate. What are you for a living? Prison officer. Let's chat some more. Let's chat some more, John. You're a prison officer. That's fucking me. You're a fucking screw. Watch too many prison dramas to not know that you call it a screw. Do you ever get called a screw? Yeah, you do.
Fucking, he said, fuck, it's fucking real.
It's real. It's fucking great. Well, I don't no longer care whether it's Brian, Ryan, or John. I'm calling you a screw for the rest of the time. What's up, screw? How are you, screw? Fucking great to have you, mate. What's your, do you have a truncheon? He has a fucking truncheon. It's real. It's fucking real. The screw has a truncheon. Fucking, do you twizzle it when you're bored? Do you sometimes just walk along the bars, like waking them up? It's like ding 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 ding. You're an honourable man. Honourable man, honourable job, keeping the prisoners in the prisons. So I'm gonna give you a sweet job. I'm gonna give you a sweet job, screw. This is my confetti cannon. Right, honestly, best £100 I've ever spent. Honestly, it's so great. It brightens up any funeral. Screw. So just basically, this is the button that sets it off. I just want you to set it off when you think it's the right time in the show. What? Everyone seems to think I've picked the wrong person here. Screw. Take it. Just chill out. Not yet. Just like chill out with it. And I just got an electric shock from you, screw. Fucking hell, mate. He's got his taser in his pocket. That's what it is. He's got his taser in his pocket. Just in case I heckled him. He heckled me in the wrong way and I slammed him and he's just like, fuck it. Well done, screw. Just chill out with it. You've got ages. It's going to be absolutely fine. You'll know. You can't fuck it up. When I dreamt that I was playing Leicester, I also dreamt that there was a chair on stage from school in the 90s. I think... I can't wait to finish this show and just stack it. It fits so perfectly on itself. I miss those days where you'd finish a day's work and then for some reason you'd put your chair on the table. Does anyone know what it's for? Because there's going to be someone who goes, it's for the cleaners. Oh, it's for the cleaners, actually. It's It's for the cleaners, isn't it? It's for the cleaners. But like, as soon as we all leave school, we're all like, fuck cleaners, actually. They can do that themselves, lazy son of a bitches. Unbelievable. It's the best thing in the world to imagine someone finishing a day at work, like a banker or something, it'd just be like... Right, goodbye, Jonathan. See you tomorrow, mate. It's for the cleaners. Yes. Give me a cheer if you saw me on I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. It's quite a lot of you. It's quite a lot. It's so long ago. Give me a cheer if you've seen my penis. That's quite a lot. Again, that's quite a lot. Give me a cheer if you've seen my comedy. Fucking hell, that is less people than have seen my penis. That was an interesting poll. Is it true, though? Is it true? Guys, we're going to talk a lot about this, whether it's true or not, because some comedians, like, we lie, and some comedians, we don't, right? And either way, it's still comedy. All right? Cool. I used to lie in my stand-up all the time, constant lies. I used to do it all the time. If you want an example of that, this is me on a TV show about 6 years ago. Here we go. I had. The worst lie I've ever told in my entire life was to my bestest friend, Steve. Now, like, my best friend, Steve, he was, like, properly, like a legit, lovely man. Just bestest friends. Every day, we used to go to school. Like, we used to do, like, an elaborate sort of handshake that we'd made up. And it was just, like, it was, let me do it. I'll do it with you. So, ready for this. We'll just go like this. Ready? Oh, you don't know it. You're not Steve. And we, We got on so well. We had so much in common. We both had the same favourite Christmas carol. Oh, that's rare. So rare. It's rare when it's Come All You Faithful. What a tune. What an absolute banger. That is first CD, now that's what I call Christmas. We had our own phrase together, right? Because we used to prank each other all the time, constantly prank each other. Like, I'd prank him, and then he'd prank me, and then I'd prank him, and then he'd prank me, and then I'd prank him. Guess what it's like? I pranked him back. It was so fun. So every time we pranked each other, we'd say, "You've been dunned." That was our phrase. You've been dunned. You've been dunned. You've been dunned. Used it for about a year and a half, pretty much every day, until I realised his surname is Dunn, and that's why he was using the phrase. You've been domited is a shit phrase. That's just doesn't work at all. Because we're in a band together when we were about 14, me and Steve, and because that was all we wanted. Just because, like, when I was a kid, all I wanted when I was 14 was to be in a band. And for some reason, just have a small fridge in my bedroom. I don't know why. Those are the two things I wanted. I was in a band called Cyrus, spelled with a silent P at the beginning of it. And clearly, we didn't know psoriasis was a thing. We had absolutely no idea. Zero clues. Cyrus was absolutely amazing. I was the lead singer. I can't sing, but you don't put this face on drums. And yeah, that's such a fun. Is there any drummers in? Give me a cheer. Oh, that was quite an excited woo up there. What was the name of your band? Fato. Silent P. What's your name, sir?
Ben.
Bless you, Ben. Is he across the road? Like... Fato, it's a pleasure to have you in, mate. What sort of music did you play in Fato? Never mind. So the, I mean, it was what I expected.
We sort of played new metal music. I don't know whether you guys know new metal. It's kind of like a Papa Roach. That were our absolute favourite band. Mine and Steve's favourite band, Papa Roach, by a long stretch. But new metal, if you don't know, it's basically what happens is you get real angry for the verse and then super happy for the chorus. I mean, you'd just be like, get away from me, I don't want to do it, but I'm in the chorus, I'm really happy, but I'm from the world, come out of the. I'm going to play you the song that we open with at this Cyrus gig, and I just need you to imagine me stood on stage as a 14-year-old child. I've got like a goth fishnet top on. just like baring my 14-year-old nips. And I've never been on stage before in my entire life, right? And this is what we open with, and this song has such a long intro. In a cricket pavilion. People start to mosh. People mosh in a cricket pavilion. People just fucking mosh in. I'm not a moshing person. It doesn't work for me personally because, you know, people in mosh pits just fucking, they're angry people. Just angry people, they've got something to be angry about, you know? Just fucking... Oh, I grew up on a council estate! I'm just like, my mum's lasagna is pretty good. So good, so many layers. How does Penny do it? So dense. Steve was my guitarist in Cyrus, and he was great, absolutely amazing, right? He made his own merch, was wearing like a Cyrus t-shirt. He was great stuff, me and Steve, right? It was wonderful. And our drummer was a guy called Brian, absolute dickhead, Brian. He wore a balaclava to the gig, true story, because he liked Slipknot but couldn't afford a mask, so just popped a balaclava on. And when he was drumming, the balaclava would slip around. And so it just looked like he was always looking left. It was great. It was mine and Steve's dream to just play to, like, you know, room full of people. And it was also my dream to crowd surf. But that dream was taken away from me because there was only 7 people there. And you cannot crowd surf with 7 people, okay? It just doesn't work. If you try and crowd surf with 7 people, you know, it just feels like you're at a funeral. It didn't work at all. It was our other dream, so it was to play Papa Roach Last Resort at the end and do an encore. And we honestly, like, that was our absolute dream. It was our last song. We got through all the songs, and I was like, guys, 7 people, this is our last song. This is Papa Roach Last Resort. At that point, drummer Brian just went, no, my hands hurt. That was the end of the gig. That's it, absolute disappointment. We broke up shortly after that, and that was it, right? We sort of parted ways. And like, but me and Steve, we stayed friends. We absolutely stayed, like, because me and Steve, all we just wanted to be cool, but we'd always get it slightly wrong. Just slightly. Like, I had a Citroen Saxo, and it was lowered. had a subwoofer in the boot. Honestly, my song sounded so bassy. You could just hear my car coming from miles away. People would hear me coming just like... Oh my God, that guy in that car sounds so cool. Do you the people singing the of angry? It is the music of the people who will be slaves when the booting of your echoes the booting of the booting of the booting of my.
Was that Les Miserables? Was that a 17-year-old in a lowered citron saxo listening to show tunes? Yes, it was. it was.
Because honestly, I thought smoking looked so cool. I didn't want to do it because, you know, it makes your breath smell and makes you die early. And so, instead, I used to smoke those candy sticks. That's just... Always had a packet in my car. Driving down the high street with my seat really low. I dreamed a dream when time gone by. Nom 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 nom. Die of diabetes instead, please. Me and Steve, we stayed friends. We stayed bestest friends. Until about 3 years ago when I told him the worst lie I've ever told in my entire life. Ever. Right, he came over to my house and he was like, Joel, I've got something really, really big to tell you. And I was like, oh, what is it, Steve? And he said, Joel, I'm getting married. I said, I'd love you to be there, Joel. I'd love you to be there. I just really love it. It's a year from now. I'd love you to be at our wedding. I said, yeah, Steve, I'll be there. Your best friend, I'll be there. Right, cut to a year later, about a week before the wedding, he calls me up and he's like, oh, just check in you're okay. For the wedding, I haven't heard from you in a while. And I was like, yeah, absolutely fine. That is obviously absolutely fine. That was my first lie. I've forgotten about the wedding. I've just forgotten. There's so much TV. And I forgot. And this is an extra little detail for you guys. It was due to be in Thailand. And so a week from then, I went home immediately and I looked up flights. And they were like £2,000 at that point. And so I was like, I had a couple of choices, Lester. I could, you know, either pay £2,000, go to my best friend Steve's wedding, or I could, you know, not do that. Okay. And I went with the latter. Right, no, don't worry, it's okay. Because I text him. I text him the day before his wedding. I'm glad you're following the narrative. I text him the day before and I said, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to make your wedding due to family problems. Honestly, it's the worst lie I've ever told because he knows my family and they were at the wedding. So... And he knew I was lying, and I was ashamed, and so we didn't text or call each other, and that was it. That was it. That was it. We didn't speak to each other for 3 years. I should point out little lies, just for you guys, little lies, absolutely fine. Just you bloody go ahead and do those, bad boys. You can do a little one, and it's absolutely fine. Like, my dad, he's a weird guy, my dad. I asked him the other day, I was like, Dad, do you love my brother more than me? And you expect him to answer in the way that all parents do. Be like, no, I love you both equally. He went, I've just got more in common with him. And... Thanks, Dad. This is the lie I tell to my dad. I absolutely love this, right? Like, he always falls asleep in the middle of films. Always. Just anytime you put a film on at home, he'll just fall asleep. And every time, this is honestly brilliant. Every time he falls asleep, what I do is I change the film. This is the important bit. Change the film to a movie with the same lead actor in it. Hmm? Hmm? You're catching my drift already. And then I wake him up. I'm like, Dad, wake up, please. You fell asleep in the middle of the film. Yes. Can you just make sure you stay awake for the rest of it, please? And then, honestly, just watch the confusion happening on his face. So we were watching Castaway with Tom Hanks in it. I changed it to Philadelphia. I've never laughed so hard. He was just like, oh, my God, Joel, how unlucky is this guy? I mean, he finally gets off the island, and now he's got AIDS. My first attempt at a woo sesh was... And there was this lady on a train, and she was so beautiful. And I was like, I'm going to do that thing that people do when they see someone on a train. It's beautiful. And so I let her leave and regretted it. But this is the romantic part. She had her name written on her bag. You can find people now. Home, I told my dad immediately. I was like, Dad, there was this lady on the train, she was so beautiful, I can't wait to find her. She had her name written on her bag. And my dad was like, oh, yes, find her, yes, it'll be like that film Taken. What are you talking about, Dad? You know, that film Taken, the one with Liam Neeson, where he tries to save his daughter and then it just goes black and white and he saves loads of Jews. Basically, because I've been in relationships since I was really young, I'd never had a one-night stand. I'd never done it. So I thought, maybe, you know, that's what I need. Maybe I just need to go out into the world and just have sex with something, you know? And so I came to Leicester. And I went online. Because that's how you meet people these days, isn't it? You go online. And... So I'd never done it before, and I went online, I met this lady, and she seemed nice, and we chatted back and forth. And after a while, she was like, hey, I'm at a party near your house. I'm going to come to your house in half an hour. And I was like, I'm going to clean my house. And she didn't arrive half an hour later. She arrived 3 hours later, right? And my house was so clean. Spotless, it was. It was so clear. She was drunk, and I'm not talking drunk. Like, hey, how's it going? I'm not talking that drunk. I'm talking like, let me in. Yeah, that drunk. I'm talking that drunk. Like, she was so angry, just super drunk. I was a prisoner of my own house. She was banging on the door. I was like, my neighbors, they were calling me in and complaining. I was panicking. I didn't know what to do because, like, you know, like, she lived really far away. And, like, you know, we've been texting and that's evidence. And so, like, I thought, okay, I'm going to do the most adult thing I think of, which is I invited her in and I just gave her my pajamas and I said, go to sleep, please. And that was my one-night stand. And that was it. And I slept on my floor and I gave her my bed. Thanks very much. And that was it. I slept on the floor. And that was it until about 6:30 in the morning when I was woken up. I was woken up by her, just like pissing on my carpet. just leaning against the wall, just pissing. And I was like, well, oh, my God, no, stop pissing on my carpet. She went, just look away. Privacy is not the issue here, actually. That is absolutely not, that is not the press. You need to stop wazzing on my rug, mate. Stop wazzing on my rug, mate. Stop, there was so much. I was there for a while. She was not a shots girl, she was a pints lady. It was just happening. There was nothing I could do. She wasn't listening to me. I can't fucking pick her up and take her outside like a dog in the movies. I had to wait for it to finish. I sat there and I just waited for it to finish. You usually have to pay for that stuff. And then she just got back into bed like that's something that you do. Woke up in the morning and I was like, you pissed on my carpet last night. And she was like, please don't talk about this on stage. And I said, I won't, Charlotte Fowler. Then yes. Winner. A lot of people think the hardest thing about stand-up comedy is the pressure of making people laugh. Guys, that's not true. The hardest thing is when you do make people laugh, you're not allowed to celebrate. I held it in then. Did you feel it? It's like when you play pool. If you make an incredible shot, you just got to pretend that you're always that good at pool. You can't be like, fuck it, yes! Yes, oh my God! I got it in the hole! Did anyone see that? You got to be like, a lot of you here won't necessarily know what it feels like to, like, say a punchline. I'll put it in your terms. This is exactly what it feels like. Say this. Charlotte Fowler. That's what it feels like. Yes. So there's the there's an ending to that story as well, the Ween story. She I don't know whether this is right or wrong, but I cooked her breakfast and drove her home. Thank you. And then we went on a second date and then I shat on her carpet, so. The other thing that happens when you go on a program like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, is if you go on like a big reality show, loads of people get in touch with you that you haven't been in touch with for years, right? Guess who got in touch? Brian. What a fucking dickhead. Brian gets in touch. Not you. I'm not talking about Screw here. I'm talking about the drummer of Cyrus. He gets in touch. He's like, oh, how's it going? Hey. It's just like, because Brian back in the day, proper lad, like he was a player, Brian. All right? And I don't know whether you know players here in Leicester, but you know, players, you hear them before you see them, players, always. Like in a nightclub, they'll be like, I'm a player. All the other players across the other side of the nightclub are like, how they communicate, and And it means you get women, apparently. That's what it means. If you're a player, you get women. And obviously, unless you're Spanish, in which case it means beach. So stupid. All the Spanish people in that nightclub are like, where is the beach? ¿Dónde está el beach? Now, Brian was a proper player. Now, he was invited. I've been out of the show, the reality show, about a week and a half, and I was like, he messaged me. He was like, oh, come over to my house, man. Come over to my house. I haven't seen you in ages. Come over to my house. And I was like, I was in Bristol, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to his house. And there was a lady there. Right, and I thought, oh, maybe this lady is his girlfriend, maybe it's his wife. It was neither of those things. It was a Tinder date that he'd never met before, and the only reason that she was there was because he said that I was going to be there. He used me as Tinder bait. And this is the thing, it worked. It worked, right? And he started slogging each other. I'm just sat on the sofa, and I'm just in their house. And then they go into the bedroom, just started having sex, and I'm just in his house. I'm just in his house, right? I now know the noise that Brian makes when he has sex, right? And not you. And I just now know, I know the noise that he makes. It sounds like a Nokia 3310 vibrating on a table. That's what it sounds like. Just in case you want to know what it sounds like, that nostalgic noise is what it sounds like, right? Because in his house, his TV is here, and then behind the TV is his bedroom, right? And there's a wall there as well. Okay. I could hear him through the wall, just, you know, they're just like, oh, no, oh, my God, we're going through.
So sorry.
I just left his house. I didn't even say goodbye. I just fucking left. I was like, why am I here? Why am I here? It's the wrong member of Cyrus's house. And I realized I came out of the jungle. I was just lonely. I just came out of this reality show and I was like, oh, what am I doing? Like, I was going on these weird dates. And I just realized my life had just completely changed. Like, completely. And I needed a best friend, you know? So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forget my differences and I'm going to call him, right? I'm going to call Steve. And so I called him. I hadn't spoken to him for 3 years. And I called him up and I said, I'm filming the show in Leicester. And I was thinking as a way of us reconnecting, do you want to come and play Papa Roach Last Resort at the end? And we can get Cyrus back together again and just, you know, we can finish the gig that we never finished. Like, how bad is Steve? And he was like, no, I don't, like... And I said, why not? And he said, I've got prostate cancer.
screw, that was the wrong time. Give it back. Piece of shit. I hope you die in prison. That was too far. So I said, Steve, oh my God. Feels weird now, doesn't it? I said, Steve. I didn't laugh. I said, Steve, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I've been the worst friend ever. I've not been there for you. I'm sorry I didn't come to your wedding. I'm so sorry. And he said, you've been done! Fucking safe! Fucking so hot! Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Stephen Dunn! Yes! Yes! Oh! Woo woo! Fucking yes, man! That's how you do it, screw! And yes! This is happening! All right, all we need now is a drummer. Luckily, there's one in at the back called Ben. We found him earlier. Ben, come on up here, mate. Come on up, we need a drummer. Have a look. Ben. He's coming up so easy. Okay, yes, Ben. Yes, Ben. Ben. Yes, Ben! Fucking Ben! Ben, wow, what are you doing? I have no idea what you're doing. Chill out, it's gonna be okay. Yes, fucking hell, you're so tall. You're so tall, Ben. I want to stay here forever, Ben. Don't put your hand back on me, yes. Oh. Ben, come on, Ben. Just sit down, Ben. You're fucking amazing. No, but there you go, I suppose. Just want you to fucking just go for it. Just fucking enjoy yourself, okay? All right? Just pop that on, pop that. Pop it on, Ben. Pop it on. Yes, Ben. Yes. Yes, it smells, Ben. Ben, this is the 127th day out of 130. I haven't washed it once. Put it on. Just put it on your fucking head, Ben. Put it on your head. Put it on your pencil-like body. Put it on. Put it on. Put your glasses on so you can see the drums. Put it through the gaps. Love it, Ben. Yes, Ben. Yes, Ben. Pop that up. Everyone of those, then. Yes, mate. Fucking gangster shit, mate. You're fucking gangster shit. You fucking yes, mate. Just gonna drum away. Just enjoy yourself, Ben. You ready? Ben, you ready? Steve, you ready? Ben, Steve, fucking yes, guys. Are you ready? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our last song. This is Papa Roach's Last Resort. Here we go. Cut my life into pieces. This is my life. Stuff it medication. No bleeding, don't give a fuck, give a couple, yeah, I'm bleeding. We've got one more song. Of course, one you know and love. Sing along, this is Come With Your Faithful. Here we go.
So expensive, so I made it.